Welcome to My Worst Date. I'm Cassie.
I'm Keegan.
I'm Christina.
Hi.
And we're all recording remotely this week.
We are. I'm out of town. Cassie's in Germany. Christina is in her mountain cabin in the woods. How are things? Like, first of all, I'm going to ask you both because, yes, Christina and I survived, you know, the floods of 2024
insane.
In Los Angeles. Absolutely insane. I literally didn't leave my house from Sunday to Wednesday. Like Wednesday night is when I finally like ventured outside because I was like, it is bananas out there.
It did not rain as much up here. There was a little bit of snow, which was very pretty. So I didn't get it that bad.
Oh, that's right. You get the snow.
I have a coworker who lives in the valley, lived now because she's had to move out. It started, the water came up through the floorboards.
No.
So like through the like foundation
nightmare.
And everything. Oh my
yes.
God. No.
Ruined.
I mean, they called it
everything.
An atmospheric Mox. River, which just sounds right. like a post-apocalyptic nightmare, does it not?
But basically, it basically just means that like the front gets trapped, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that kind of what happens?
I have no idea.
And then
I looked it up and I saw a lot of like diagrams of it, but I'm still not 100% sure. I'm just like, what it means to me is that I'm not going outside. Like that's what it
that's
means.
That's exactly right.
It means to me that I'm making soup in my apartment and turning the fire on. Mm. That's what that means.
Like, did you see all the TikToks of like the LA River, like how it was like gushing?
Yes.
I've never seen that.
I almost, when we had a break from the rain on Wednesday morning, I almost walked over there because the LA River is so close by where I live that I was like, oh, I kind of want to see it because I've walked by the LA River so many times. And we should say this for people who aren't familiar. The LA River is really just like a concrete, like
it's the thing that if you've ever watched Terminator 2, when they take the motorcycle down this like big culvert, that's the LA River. It's just basically concrete with a little bit of water that runs through it.
Yeah.
When we first moved to Los Angeles, our first year in LA, it was exactly like this. We had torrential downpours. We were right by the LA River too. Mm-hmm. And it was mudslides and it hadn't rained in a really long time. So it was incredibly bad.
Oh, it's so unsafe.
So very similar. But then we had all those. Do you remember when the streets were caving in? Like the
sinkholes.
Yeah.
Sinkholes. Yes.
People like to make fun of
horrible
people from LA. And listen, I am in Missouri right now. I am recording in a like leather jacket because I'm always cold. Like I'm always cold. And that is a result of having spent a lot of time in LA and I have a thin skin and I'm willing to admit that. But people make fun of people from LA for like, oh, you guys can't drive in the rain. You guys can't handle weather. You don't understand. The infrastructure of Los Angeles is not made to handle rain. Like we have to, like whoever's in charge of that city planning, they got to make some adjustments because at this point we're getting heavy rainfalls every January and February.
It's been bad. The last couple of years have been really bad.
Yeah. So I'm like, we got to make adjustments so that our streets don't cave in.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't okay.
And so we can also capture some of that water as well.
Yeah, because somehow we're still going to have a drought come summertime.
Of course,
seriously.
So, like...
Makes no sense.
It really doesn't. Okay, now that we got weather talk out of the way, Cassie, I know you talked a little bit about... the listeners might want to know. I know you talked a little bit about your adjusting to Germany in the shorty that we had, but... How are things?
Yes.
How have things been for the last like week since we've talked?
It's good. Actually, I'm finally at this place where I'm like, oh, the time zone is like matching me now. Like I've fallen into the time zone. That first week, I'll tell you what, it was brutality.
I will say you look more awake this week than you did when we recorded last week.
Oh, I was struggling this week. It took me that full 9 days. So I think I said this maybe on the shorty, but they say like the number of hours difference between where you come from and where you're going is the number of days it takes to adjust. Right. And it was absolutely,
it's like 8 hours,
all of the 9 days.
Yeah, 9 hours. Okay.
To
yeah.
fully, mm-hmm. yeah. to fully bring it together. Cause mm-hmm. it was tough. But yeah, no, I'm back in my game. I'm feeling good. I'm making moves at work. I feel much better about, like, you know, being able to contribute, which, like, the first week I felt like I was like, what are you saying? Like, what's happening?
Well, they were speaking yeah. German, Cassie, so that's why you couldn't understand.
This is also true.
You're like, what are you saying?
it's been interesting. It's, you know, if people weren't speaking German, you really don't have that, like, I don't know, it's a city. So there's, like, city vibes and, you know, and mm-hmm. it has a lot of the same, you know, people outside walking in the streets. Like, it's a lively community, and I live in a really rad neighborhood, and, you know, it's just, it's pretty cool.
Well,
it's,
you know,
been a lot of fun.
I'm glad you're enjoying it, but I'm going to need you to come back to Los Angeles, because you leave and we get, like, atmospheric rivers and, like, 4.7 earthquakes.
Oh, that's right.
That's fucking happening right now. So I'm going to put that solely on your shoulders.
You're actually, the world is off kilter a little bit mm-hmm. because you're on the wrong side of it.
Right. So you're not where you're supposed to be.
I will tell you something funny that happened when I don't speak German, but I do speak some French, which is completely unhelpful here, by the way. And surprisingly, everybody's like, you don't need to speak German. Everybody speaks English. That is a fucking lie.
That, you know, they tell you that everywhere you go. They say that everywhere you go. And, like, because they said that about, like, when I went to Seoul, South Korea, too, because there is a huge American presence in South mm-hmm. Korea and in Seoul in particular. And yes, certain neighborhoods...
Sure.
Everyone speaks English. However, that's not everywhere. And I definitely had interactions. I had a moment when I was in Seoul where my phone was getting ready to die. I went the wrong way on the bus, and I ended up in a part of town where, like, I didn't know where I was. And
great.
I was trying to ask, like, the person who worked at
that
the convenience store for help. And no English, like, no English. I was just like, I don't know. Like, so just letting all the English speakers know.
The smaller the store, the more like a convenience store type mm-hmm. situation, the less likely so far they do speak mm-hmm. any English. But hop into an H&M and those people are on it. They're like, oh yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Thanks. I mean, but it is good to know, because I do feel like, we're so American centric, and, like, people always say that, like, oh, everyone speaks English.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, oh, it's, you should fine. Never assume that.
No, they don't.
Never assume
no, they
that,
don't.
Like, everyone
no,
speaks English.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
And,
try to learn a little bit of the language.
Oh, I'm going to have to. Absolutely. Yeah.
I wasn't speaking to you. I wasn't chastising you specifically,
Cassie.
I know.
I didn't take it personal, girl. Okay. I was on my way home the other night, and I did. So one of the things I've noticed is that the younger people, mm-hmm. the younger they are, the closer to my age they are. Mm-hmm. Anybody older than me seems to be like, not English. But I was on my way home, and there was, like, this big group of people kind of rallying. And I was like, what's going on? And they had these flags, and they were like had, like, symbols on them. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm not aware of what this is. So I was like, I really need to go to the store right through here, but I don't know what's going on. And, you know, large groups of people, I'm like, I don't know. Should I just not? Mm-hmm. So I asked somebody, I was like, what's going on? And it was an anti-racism rally. And I was like, oh well, this
sweet,
is
great.
Perfect. Great.
These are my people. I'm going to make some new friends right now, actually, is what's going on.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well, do you miss your husband, though?
I was just going to ask,
because this is, like, the longest time you guys have been apart.
It really is. Yeah, no, it's weird. I think that, you know how we never talk on the phone, even if I'm gone for, like, a trip or for work or whatever. It's kind of one of those weird things where just, like, we're not phone people. We're fucking phone people now.
Yeah.
Like, we're, like, FaceTime people morning and night. So, like, every morning it's his nighttime and vice versa. I talk to him twice a day.
Oh,
and
that's
we always FaceTime, and he shows me how much the cat's loving on him, which is fucking rude. And then how much the dog misses him. But he, I am going to have him come out. I have a work trip coming up. And as much as I've really tried to get Rose to like our dog sitter, she's decided that she fucking hates our dog sitter so far. So yeah. I'm really, really annoyed with that. So hopefully we're going to go for a little walkie tomorrow together, us and the dog sitter. And so hopefully Rose can be fucking nice for once. But we'll see. But I have to go to London for work. And I mean, that's like multiple days out of town, and I can't take Rose with me because it's not part of the EU anymore. So like I'd have to get special things and whatever. So it's just not worth it. And I'm like, Chris, I need you to come out. Like, I don't know what else to do. So one of you two who Rose loves, went to come out.
Wish I could. Genuinely wish I could.
Very specific Rose nose program. But yeah. I'm going to have him come out here for a couple years. I'm going to have him come out for a couple weeks, hopefully, so that the 1 week when I'm away that he can be here with Rose, because I know that that's going to just be the best scenario. And then, of course, another week where we can hang out and see each other and do things and, go around the city and stuff.
Speaking of being separate from your husband...
Yes.
Cameron Diaz did an interview kind of recently. I wonder what she was trying to promote, because I think she was on Jimmy Fallon or something. But she did, and famously, we just did our Tainted Love movie, which was The Other Woman. And I don't think she's done anything since then. I don't think she's acted in anything. So, yeah. But
here's me looking right now to see.
She did an interview where she was talking about her marriage to Benji Madden from Good Charlotte, which I love. I love that her and Nicole Richie are sisters-in-law, because Benji and Joel are twins and they are married to them. And that's just fun for me. I just like to think about like what Christmas is like for their family. You know, what's Thanksgiving like? You got the Richies and then you got Cameron Diaz at the table too. Great.
I'd love to... be invited. Yeah, that sounds fun.
Yeah. So in the interview, though, and they have a very successful, you know, loving marriage. They've been married for quite a while. They've, I think they might have kids together. I can't remember. But she made a comment that kind of got people talking on the internet about how they sleep in separate bedrooms. And that, like, if she had it her way, they would have, like, separate houses altogether. And then, like, come, like, she's like, ideally, she would, like, have his house, her house, and then, like, a house in the middle that we're all, like, connected.
Listen, like, I love this for them.
And to me, I'm like, I don't hate it. Like, I realize it's not for everyone, but I think that there are a lot of people who sleep in separate bedrooms from their partners. And I don't think that that's indicative. There were a lot of really judgmental comments about like it being indicative of there being something really wrong in the relationship that you would want to sleep separately.
People love if there's something wrong, you know, they love to see if, you know.
Right. Well, I didn't think it would be that controversial, but like so many people are like, oh, it's a controversial opinion. And I'm like, I don't think that that's particularly controversial.
There are all kinds of ways to make a relationship work. We come in all styles, shapes, colors, beliefs, all kinds of things that work for somebody and won't work for the other person, which is the reason why like all these like dating advice things or whatever makes so much money, because it's like,
right,
you know what I mean? It's not a one size fits all thing. You know, I personally would not like that. It would not work for me to sleep in a separate room from my partner.
But you guys got that huge ass bed too.
Yeah, I'm just like, I love,
you got that big bed.
I love snuggling. Like one of my favorite things is like if I wake up in the middle of the night, like chances are like we're usually moon landing, like back to back, butts touching. But we call that
boot to boot.
And he will have his hand like on my hip, and it's very comforting to me. Sorry, my dogs are going fucking nuts right now.
You're okay.
It's okay. Mine has been off and on all morning too, all evening for me, I guess.
But yeah, but I can I can see it. That's the thing is I'm like, it does not affect me in any kind of way. Like if, exactly. if one of you guys were like, oh, we do this, I'd be like, that's cool. Like, cool. Are you happy? Great. Like,
right. I mean, I guess for me, when people have these kinds of like really strong opinions, I think it's really damaging. Look, because everyone will just be like, that's my opinion. I'm allowed to have an opinion. It's like, you are allowed to have sure. an opinion. However, you make people who feel like they would be more comfortable in a situation where they're sleeping in separate bedrooms, you make them feel like there's something wrong with them or that there has to be something yep. wrong with their relationship. And I don't think that that's mm-hmm. necessarily the case. Well, I think like, that's, you know,
yeah, that says more about them. Like if someone has mm-hmm. that strong of an opinion of like, oh my God, that doesn't work. That's so wrong. Like blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what's up? What's
right. Why? Exactly. What's up with that? Yeah. You're taking this too much. That? Awfully personally, like yeah, right, yeah. Right. What's that about? You know, because it's,
nobody said it you have you. To do it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. Right. Right. No one's forcing you, Susan. Right. You're fine.
But it makes me feel like, you know, the Susans of the world. Sorry, Susans. Oh, sorry, all nice Susans. It's just the name that Christina used. But like those people, I feel like they can make people who are in healthy relationships do things like who want to sleep in separate bedrooms feel like they can't. And like maybe there are legitimate mm-hmm. reasons why they want to sleep in separate bedrooms. And now they feel like they're forced to sleep in the same bed because they're like, no, it says something about us that something's wrong if we sleep in separate bedrooms. But it's like, yeah. what if one person likes it really warm? What if one person likes it really cold? Yeah. What if like one person snores super loud or one person goes to bed much, much earlier than the other person?
It doesn't
person?
Have
like,
to be that.
Yeah. And every other relationship, every other
deep.
Aspect of your relationship can be just fine. Like, yeah. you know,
So just a little quick thing about Cameron Diaz. We mm-hmm. we did watch The Other Woman, which came out in 2014. She has three other things that come out that same year, and that's it. 2014, she out.
I love that
she does
her.
Annie. Yeah, oh, she yeah. did Annie. Mm-hmm. She was Miss Hannigan. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she hasn't done anything since then. I always forget that she's Cuban too. I don't mm-hmm. Diaz. I don't know why. I don't think about it, but yeah, the last name is Diaz, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. I think she's half Cuban, but
she married Benji like 1 year, like 2015. So I think she mm-hmm. just kind of was like, yeah,
she
done.
Doesn't have to.
This
she's
is the next
had
phase
like
of
a,
my life.
A very successful career.
Good for her.
You know, and she's kicking it now. I respect that. I
Good
think
for
that
you.
That's awesome. I really like
yeah,
her.
Yeah. I'm not mad at all.
Actually,
I do too.
Yeah.
Okay. This would be a good FMK. Actors or actresses who have stepped away from.
The limelight?
You know, acting. Ooh. The limelight. Who have kind of like been like, you know what? I'm done with acting for a while or kind of taken a... didn't I just hear somebody said that Ryan Reynolds and his wife, Blake Lively, were going to do that? We're like kind of taking a break from acting. I feel like I heard that.
You know who I heard was going to do that was Tom Holland. I think was also saying that he was gonna, yeah, or
I know
it's
who
one
it
of
is
the
now.
Spider-Mans. It's either Tom Holland or the other one.
Andrew Garfield.
Andrew Garfield.
You know who else? Actually, it wasn't Blake Lively. It was Nikki Reed and her husband was on the hot guy from Vampire Diaries.
Hmm. I don't
know.
I can't
think of his name. Totally blanking on his name. But anyway, they decided they're like, you know what? We're going to.
Well, Andrew Garfield said that he's not retiring, but that he's taking some time off from acting, which I also respect. So I'm gonna have him be my choice.
Okay.
Okay.
I have nine famous actors who broke or nearly quit acting. Oh, nope. Never mind.
Well, I know Chris Hemsworth has taken a break. Did you hear why though?
Because his wife is ill, right? Or is that it?
Thought he was ill.
No. He went on this National Geographic thing where they did like a whole brain scan and all this stuff.
Oh, yes.
And they
yeah.
found he's like significantly predisposed to Alzheimer's.
Yes.
And it like really shook him. So he's like taking a break from acting in order to focus on his
also,
health.
Yeah. And I think that that's incredible. I also do want to, because we are talking about this and because I'm, you know, I've said multiple times, like, I respect Cameron Diaz for stepping away from it and, you know, everybody who's absolutely taking breaks. However, I do want to acknowledge that it's incredibly privileged to be able to just say, like, no more. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm done.
I'm not going to work anymore. You know what I mean? Or even if it's a legitimate reason, like Chris Hemsworth wanting to prioritize his health and his family in the wake of that news. Yeah. A lot of people can't afford to do that. Like, they can't, like, get bad medical news and stop working. Like, they have to keep working, especially because they have bad medical news and they know that now they're preparing to spend a fortune on medical bills. So I do just want to go ahead. I'm not blind to the fact that, like, yes, good for them. I'm glad they're able to do that. But that is an incredibly privileged position to be able to just be like, I'm going to take a couple years off, you know.
I know.
Yeah.
Must be nice.
Must be nice. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Famously, Rick Moranis was able to take because his wife passed, and he ended up taking a huge break, huge step away. I mean, like, right in the middle of his prime fame.
Mm-hmm.
Phoebe Cates. This is from E! Online. Ian Somerhalder is the actor I was trying to think of.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's him and his wife who both just said they've kind of decided to, they want to be ranchers and build their legacy elsewhere is what they said. Again, it must be nice.
It's all very rich people must be nice vibes. Yeah. But
yeah. Well, and Jeanette McCurdy, of course, who famously wrote that book.
I'm glad my mom died
last year.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Of course, Meghan Markle, Cameron Diaz is on here, Terrence Howard, Jack Gleason, who was King Joffrey.
I don't think Terrence Howard took a break on purpose. I think he was piece of shit.
Yeah.
Creep.
Nobody.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Yeah. Okay. Well, who do we want to pick? I think we have to do Cameron Diaz since we were talking about her. So let's throw her in the mix.
I'm fucking doing Rick Moranis, dude.
Do Rick Moranis. Especially and then Christina.
Because look at this guy now.
I know. He's fresh.
I know. He is fresh.
He's such a, what a sweet, sweet guy.
What do you think, Christina?
That is a great question. I think I'll go with Chris Hemsworth.
Okay. I like it. All right. Okay. What an interesting bunch. Okay, so we've got Rick Moranis of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids fame.
I was thinking Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters, Little Shop of Horrors.
Yes.
We've got Cameron Diaz, who's Cameron Diaz, and we all know. And Chris Hemsworth, Thor. Great. Okay, interesting combo here. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to marry Cameron Diaz. We can sleep in separate rooms if she wants. That's fine with me. I think that's fine. She's tall. I feel like we'd make a handsome couple. So I like that. I think she's beautiful. I think she's funny. I think she's down for it.
Seems very down to earth.
Yeah, she's pretty chill.
Just very chill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm
she went to
that.
High school with Snoop Dogg.
Oh, really?
Say no more.
Love it.
Say no more.
And she's good friends
from
with, like,
Long Beach.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like she's got good famous friends too. So I'm on board. I'm going to marry her. I just think that's a nice life. I'm going to fuck Chris Hemsworth because...
Yeah, I think you have to.
For obvious reasons.
Obviously. Yeah.
I don't think we
and
need to elaborate.
And then you're friends with...
Like,
you're
and I'll
be
friends with Rick Moranis.
Moranis.
Yes, I'm not, definitely not going to kill Rick Moranis, but I will be I will be friends with him for sure. Yeah, we can talk. We can hang out. We can sing Seasons of Love together because he's totally a musical theater girly like me. Mm-hmm. I love it. Yeah.
I think I'm going to marry Rick Moranis.
I think that's a good idea too. He seems very sweet.
I like this. Yeah.
He seems very really sweet and intelligent. I think there's just a lot of, like, really fun rabbit holes we could go down together.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And yeah, I'm just, I love Rick Moranis. I think he's funny too.
He's maintained being kind of like a sweetie pie when he was famous in like the 80s, which was like not a sweetie pie time period.
Nope.
I feel like,
nope.
Yeah. You know,
that's true.
It's a very cocaine time period. And he's managed to maintain a very nice guy air. Good nice guy, not nice guy TM.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. And so then I think I'm going to fuck Cameron Diaz.
I like that.
Just think she's going to be better than Chris Hemsworth.
I get vibes that she's going to be good in bed. Like, I do get she has a sexual magnetism about her.
Yeah.
She does.
Yeah.
She does. I'm doing the same thing Christina's doing. I'm going to marry Rick Moranis.
Nice.
The only downside I see here is because he's a New York City guy. Like
he is not an LA guy.
He's dug in.
No. Yeah.
I kind of love that. I could very easily I couldn't go and like start my life over in New York City now. Ripe old age, but if I was going to be with somebody that's established and put down roots there, and I could very easily switch coasts.
Rick
I would be
Moranis
fine with
strikes
that.
Strikes me as someone with a brownstone, and Christina, I feel like you would love the brownstone life.
I think I would.
You get a basset hound, and you would just settle in. You know, I like that.
It feels right.
I'm doing the same thing. And you know what? Of the three, he's going to be well-read and we're have a lot to talk about. We're going to have amazing conversations. He seems just a really down to earth. Mm-hmm. And I'm also going to fuck Cameron Diaz. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean,
why
I'm
not
gonna climb that tree?
Yeah. We just watched The Other Woman again for our Patreon movie. So if you want to listen to us talk about
she's hot.
And that woman,
so hot.
Her legs are like when she was laying on the beach in that swimsuit, and I was just like, Jesus. Her legs are as tall as my whole body.
And the way that they try, again, I know we talked about it in the movie, the way they try to make it like
she's just like
she's not as good looking as
Kate Upton.
You're wrong.
They literally
pan from her to I was like, no,
they're beautiful
incredibly beautiful.
Yeah, in different ways. We don't need to compare them.
That's right.
The way that the movie kind of wants you
tries to.
To.
Mm-hmm. It's silly. Yeah.
It's silly.
Anyway.
Oh, well, you guys want to take five and then we'll come back with stories?
Sounds good.
Let's do it.
All right.
And we're back. Okay, Christina, kick us off with stories.
Yes, I have a listener story. I am pulling it up right now. Thank you, as always, for writing in. This one's titled, Yes, Man, Dating Misogyny and the Date That Wouldn't End.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
okay.
So at 19, a careless broken man boy shattered my teenage heart and I began a yes man style dating journey riddled with red flags.
I proceed with caution. You know what I mean? Because in general, I'm just whatever. Like, you know, you don't know what you don't know. Like maybe try some things that are outside of your comfort zone. However, that can lead you to some dark places, I feel like, in terms of dating.
Yeah. Yeah. We've read all of those stories for sure.
Yes.
Okay. She also says, I have been vegan about 2 years at this point and always shared this before a date because of guys' tendency to mock or ridicule this, which we've talked about that on the podcast before. It's just ridiculous. So one day I post a song by Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons, one of my favorites, and this guy on my Instagram responds to my story. He refers to himself only as Ace, like the card.
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
No, sir. I'm out.
Is that your Christian name? Did your parents name you that? Or
He is the friend.
People who give themselves nicknames, I have to say that too. People who, not a nickname that was given to you. Like somebody who's like,
yeah,
I go by Ace now.
Do you? Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. Me too.
Cool, 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 cool.
I'm Rocky.
He is the friend of a guy that I dated for about 2 months, though he was not memorable at all to me. He tells me about how he's so into this era of music and starts asking me about what other music I like, and then about my life, and then about my family. The conversation just keeps going. I'm not easily enthused or drawn into people, same, but I'm pretty much always game to have a conversation. That is not the same with me. So I keep chatting back, and before long he says he's dying to meet me, so he asks me out. So in this time, he's told me a couple of things that come into play later. He's so impressed that I'm vegan. He loves it. He thinks it's admirable. He wishes he had the self-discipline. He'd totally try vegan food. His isn't mind-blowing, but gave me hope that he wouldn't be annoying about my life choices.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He asks how tall I am. I answer 5'8", and he says, perfect, I'm 5'10".
Okay. All right.
You are 5'5".
Yeah, exactly. Why am I looking down at you, bro?
So a day before the date, he ends up going on a party bus, not for an occasion. They were just young guys who like to do this on random Thursdays.
You know what? I'm into it. Listen. Let's start doing that. I'm just going to be like, you know girls I'd night. We're just going to party bus around the valley. Let's go.
Honestly, would do.
Truly, like, we don't have to interact with other people, but I get to leave the house. That sounds great.
That's great.
Don't threaten me with a good time. Exactly. I'm into it.
Mobile bar. So the next day he wakes up late and says he's tired. I give him the out and say we can reschedule. Admittedly, I was already feeling a bit of the ick, realizing he, like the other friend I dated, was sort of an aimless guy. He was just blowing money on party buses weekly. I'm a Capricorn, which may help make sense of that. Girl, yep. I totally get that. Yep. I'm like, oh, that's how you like to spend your time and money?
Mm. Yeah. Okay. It should be clarified.
Did you write this?
I'm into the party bus idea, but not if you got no money. Like, mm-hmm. if you're blowing yep. all of your weekly, money,
I think weekly, really.
You're spending your rent money on party buses?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sweetie.
Exactly. He says no. He's super excited for the date, but asks if I wouldn't mind driving since he isn't feeling 100%. Mm.
Let's cancel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's cancel.
Yeah. If you're not like that, I feel like that's been a theme we've seen on this show where like people are pushing through being sick to go on dates. It's like, just stay home.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not feeling well, I don't need to drive. We can just reschedule. Like,
did COVID teach us nothing?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Honestly. Literally, I don't
know.
I don't want to hang out with a hungover person. That sounds miserable. You know? It's not a good look for like a first impression. So when planning the date, we had decided to go to Pasadena, which is cute, walkable, a bit romantic. I ask if we should choose something more local. He says no. So now I'm responsible for driving 30 minutes out of my way to get him and then another 40 minutes to Pasadena.
Absolutely not. Because you're hungover?
No.
A 0% chance.
Get
not
a
doing
fucking
that.
Lift. This is LA. Get a lift.
It's not even on the way.
No.
Like I'd be like, all right, I'll pick you up if you live in Pasadena.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm already there.
The end.
But driving.
Or if you live by me, those are the options. Those are the options.
Yeah. Yep. That's it. So I arrive at his house. He gets into my car and starts with the, is this what you listen to? In a judgmental tone.
Get out.
Go ahead and get out.
We're already at your house. Get out.
Literally his first sentence to me ever in person. I'm taken aback.
Fuck.
I say like, I like this, but you're welcome to change it to anything. I just had it playing in the background. He's like, no, it's fine if you like it, and settles into the seat. He is obviously hungover and being a grade A bummer. There are periods of silence and periods of forced conversation. We get on the 210. I apologize for some confusion on where I was supposed to exit, and he's like, it's okay, you're a woman.
Get out.
I was getting my speech prepared already because driving to Pasadena is kind of a pain. Like,
it's
because
not
the
fun.
Way that you, like, the exits to get off in Pasadena are so confusing. And then if you miss it, there is no easy, like, way to get back
around.
Like, you have to, like, go all the way around. So that is difficult, I think, for just anyone, you know, period. And secondly, you're in my fucking car. You asked me to drive. Are you kidding me? And now you're going to complain?
Exactly. Minutes later, a pickup truck cuts us off to get off around the transition to the 134. This is so, like, I'm feeling this in my California heart
right
now.
I know this. I know exactly this.
He leans forward and aggressively flicks the man off.
What?
No.
In my car?
No. So you take that road rage to your own car outside of my car. Like, no. It's just... And also, it's just, and we've talked about this, like, guys that get too road ragey are, that's a red flag for me.
Yeah, turn off.
It's such a turn off.
I'm the road rager. You just sit back, relax.
Yeah, I'm driving, bro. So, I am now hungry. I'm desperately hungry. If I could just eat, I could decide what to do with this temperamental energy suck in the seat next to me. So I decide I'll just power through and I ask, hey, did you ever decide where to eat? Because he had insisted that he choose a place for the date.
Of course he did.
He says, no, did you? I feel it growing.
Right, I'm not even stopping the car. Like, you can tuck and roll. Get out.
Honestly,
get out.
On the freeway. Goodbye. So my ability to reason, to stay calm, to excuse this boy's poor etiquette and move on with my life is simply melting away. I answer, no, I have not. Is there any way, since I'm driving, you could look something up? He opens his phone and goes silent. A short while later, we're in Pasadena. So where should we go? He doesn't know. After suggesting...
He wasn't even looking.
He was on Insta or something.
Yeah.
So
Tinder.
He explains he didn't find anything. Okay, I have to stop my car on the side of a bridge and look for myself. I go down a list of places on Yelp that have an option for me to eat, and suddenly he doesn't like anything to any of it. No Indian, no Thai, no burgers, no pizza. He laughs when I name an all vegan place and makes a comment about it being rabbit food.
Okay, you know what? You don't have to eat then. You can watch me eat because I'm hungry and I drove us here and you don't have a car. So you have to do what I want to do. And if you don't like it, then you can lift home. Bye.
Lift. Bye.
God, don't you wish?
Oh, I know.
Don't you just wish that's how this went?
I know.
But we're women, so we know that's not how it went.
No. Yeah. It's honestly not even what I would do, but it is what I wish I would do.
I know. Yeah. It's what I wish I would do. Yeah.
I say, all right, maybe we should just park and look around for something. We find a parking structure. He comments on how I parked badly because I am a woman. I say back that I don't love the casual misogyny, and he tells me I need to learn how to take a joke.
Get fucked. Okay. Oh, my God. I just got triggered so hard. I hate that. Like, misogyny or racism or, like, whatever it is, homophobia, masked as, it's just jokes. Why are you being so sensitive? It's just jokes.
Hey, guess what? If they're good jokes
are supposed to be funny.
You don't have to explain that they're jokes. You know? Mm-hmm. They're funny. So we continue talking about nothing consequential before he asks, how tall are you? In an abrupt and accusatory tone. I say, I'm 5'8".
Fuck you.
He says, no, there's no way you're 5'8", because I am 5'10". It's clear at this point we are nearly the same height, with me having a possible advantage, which I have no problem with. No, I've had my height checked multiple times. I've been the same height since 9th grade. I'm 5'8". He continues to argue with me about this throughout the evening.
Tall girls, tall ladies, it's time to keep a measuring tape in your car. It's time. It's time.
I'd honestly. Like, okay.
Could you imagine? Yeah,
you know what? I have this for these occasions specifically. Let's go.
Wow. Dude, that would break some of these fellas. I'm 5'10". I'm 5'10". I'm like, bro, you're 5'8". It's okay.
Maybe.
It's fine.
It's okay.
You're 5'7¾".
He follows up with an audible sigh and the comment, well, this isn't going well.
No, continues. It sure is.
No, it's not.
It sure is not.
Welcome. Welcome to the date.
All the while, I'm trying to hide disgust through smiles and polite conversation. However, I somehow wind up on the outside of the sidewalk towards the street each time, and he ushers me each time more aggressively to move towards the inside of the sidewalk, at one point saying, I told you to walk on the inside.
Oh, you told me? Those.
You don't tell me shit. How about that? How about you don't tell me shit?
So I'm fucking hungry. I finally asked, why don't we just try Yard House? They have a lot of options. He finally agrees. We get there. They have a 45-minute wait. Oh, my God.
And the hanger is setting in. I do experience, like, hangriness.
Yeah, me too. You know,
I, like, legitimately start to get, like, irritated if I'm super fucking hungry.
Yeah. No, and also for me, I'm like, I hate feeling trapped. You know what I mean? Like, I'm in a situation I don't like, and there's no way out of it. Yeah, I mean, I'd be like, I've got to go to the bathroom and, like, just fucking run back to that parking garage and just, and then, motherfucker, you're in Pasadena. I've blocked you. You cannot reach me. We're done.
Yeah,
like, this is too much. This is too much. So they're waiting. They try to get drinks at the bar. He changes his mind. Like, they end up getting a table. She's like, cancels the drinks, which she's like, and I'm on the verge of tears. We get to the table and he says, we shouldn't get a drink now. And I'm thinking, probably for the best. No amount of liquid buffer is going to make this any more tolerable. Takes 3 rounds of check-ins from the server to decide what he wants to eat. Then is rude about, like, they don't have anything that looks good. He complains about the food. He looks at my food and makes comments like, I don't get how you can choose that over real meat. I couldn't live without meat.
Wow.
Great
okay,
for you.
Good thing you don't have to.
You're
nobody
not living
is,
my life.
Is forcing you to, like, that is another thing. When people get,
such a
you know,
weird
we were just saying that earlier about, like, people who are super judgmental about, like, not wanting to share a bed. It's the same thing here where it's like,
who
what
cares?
Is wrong with you? Inside that you are battling daily, that you need to make such a big deal about what I eat.
Why are my decisions for my body triggering you? Yeah.
You.
What's going on?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wild. So, work that out with a therapist.
She pays the bill. And then I try to hurry us back to the car.
She pays the bill?
Oh yeah.
Of course she does.
Yeah. I try to hurry us back to the car, but when we leave, he decides he wants to walk around. He's vaping and telling me his other vape makes way bigger clouds.
You know what? That would have turned. That's exactly what I needed. That would have turned this date around. The vape cloud wasn't big enough. It wasn't big enough. Like, I
would
have fucked you if you had a bigger vape cloud. Too bad.
I face the fact that I may never experience arousal again. 40 minutes go by and we get back to the car. Utter silence to drop him off. I arrive to his house and don't even get up from my seat, but he tries to stay in my car and desperately dredge up some semblance of a conversation.
Get out. Get out.
Goodbye.
Finally open my door and stand outside of my car until he takes the hint and gets out. And in this moment, as I am readying to sit back down and hurry the fuck on home, he tries to go in for a kiss.
No.
The audacity. The audacity. What do these, what are they thinking? Like, genuinely, what are they thinking? In what universe did you think that I was just going to let that happen after the date that we were both here? You said that this was a bad date.
Yeah. We both, I'm not.
I think we can both equally admit how fucking awful this date has been. But
he says, okay, well, our next date will go better. Yes.
It sure
with
it
other
sure
people.
Right.
With other people, exactly.
Lord, no.
Goodbye.
What a nightmare, human.
My God.
Jesus Christ.
Don't go on dates hungover. I don't even want to hang out with myself hungover.
I would cancel a date if I was hungover. Like, I don't want to. I don't want to be. Yeah, hanging out. I'm not feeling good. I am grumpy.
Yeah.
Whenever I'm not feeling good.
Yeah.
But I think this guy was just a piece of shit. Period. We can't blame the hangover. He has to hang out on a party bus weekly with his bros because nobody else wants to hang out with him.
Ace.
I forgot that.
Ace. Fucking oh course. My God, that's right.
Jesus Christ.
Way to bring it back.
Lord. Jesus.
If only he had brought his bigger vape, guys.
Oh, that's really what
if only.
Damn it. He was so close. Okay. This is also a listener's story, and it's a little bit of a longer one, but it is from a longtime listener and patron, so thank you so much for writing in. Okay. Background. I struggled with eczema from birth, and there's a title to this story. The title is How to Not Get Pregnant on Prom Night. So that would have been helpful information, Cassie.
This. Yeah, 18 years or 26 years ago.
Yeah, this was. Where was this? Yeah. Okay. Background. I struggled with eczema from birth, and it really went awry during puberty. It heavily affected my face, which negatively affected my self-esteem. Girl, I hear you. As somebody who still in my 30s is struggling with like acne and acne scarring, like I get it. The stuff on your face it really can affect your self-esteem. I'm naturally quiet and introverted, so add on an uncommon physical malady, and all I wanted to do was fade into the wallpaper. Making any moves on a boy was not an option that I even considered. On to the story. It was the beginning of my junior year of high school in the fall of 1999. The eczema was pretty much gone, but I had still not so much as exchanged direct eye contact with a boy I liked. My best friend Amy invited me on a family camping trip, where, lo and behold, I met her oh-so-cute quasi-step cousin, who we'll call Blaine.
Blaine
and Ace.
Sounds like the names in like those really bad romance novels.
Yeah.
You know? Oh my God. He's my step cousin. Blaine.
Yes. And every time I hear the name Blaine, and this goes for Ace as well, but like every time I hear the name Blaine, I think it's is it Pretty in Pink, where his name is like the guy that she's trying to date is named Blaine, and Ducky says Blaine. What kind of name is Blaine? It sounds like an appliance. And that is always what I think of every time I hear it now. So both Blaine and Ace appliance
name
names. Huh?
Oh, you said Pretty in Pink.
Pretty in Pink,
candles.
Not 16
Never
candles.
Mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Blaine, and who just happened to be our same age. Blaine lived about 30 minutes away, and I don't think I knew he existed until that trip. Blaine's dad was in a long-term, non-married relationship with Amy's aunt. That's how it's quasi-step cousin. Okay. I was totally intrigued. He was quiet and non-threatening. And did I mention cute? That's all it took when you're like junior in high school.
Yes.
That's enough. Say no more.
And if you're camping, you have just enough access to do whatever the fuck
I know.
You want.
And you are in forced close proximity.
Don't give a
they
shit.
They sure don't. All the parents are getting drunk on jungle juice. They don't care what you guys are doing.
You're gone all day. You don't have to be back until after midnight. After. It's so dark. Mm-hmm. They don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Blaine stuck with us the whole trip, which was very unexpected behavior, and the adults were elated. I did notice that unless a direct question was lobbed at him, he didn't say much of anything to anyone. Being quiet around strangers myself, that wasn't that weird to me, even if it was his own family. Sensing my interest, Amy was in my ear about not bothering him, but at that point, I hadn't ever...
I'm in love.
Yeah, 100%. I'm gonna bother the fuck out of him for sure. I hadn't ever
Consider him bothered.
And she says, like, at that point, I hadn't had any sort of contact with a boy, so it fell on deaf ears. 100%. Phone numbers were exchanged, but we were each too nervous to call. Two introverts. My house did not yet have internet, so there was no AIM chatting. We started with a group outing to a movie that Amy organized and did that type of thing occasionally going forward. Group dates. I occasionally...
The way this story is so, like,
so
relatable.
High school. It's so high school. Yeah. I occasionally babysat Amy's 3-year-old brother, and at some point I pocketed Blaine's... This is so high school. Hold on. At some point I pocketed Blaine's school photo that was pinned to a corkboard at Amy's house so that I could take it to the grocery store and photocopy it before sneaking... it back in place.
Oh, so God,
God. Do I know this person?
Was I this person?
Yes,
my
same,
junior
same
year of high school.
Hard same. Like, oh, look, and I'm keeping it in my wallet. It is going, it's coming with me. That is so fucking funny. My mom was, and this is amazing, because I would have done that alone. In private, she says, my mom was with me and I felt like such a dork, but what was a girl with a crush to do?
Oh, your my mom. God.
Honestly, if I was a parent, I would live for moments like that. Mom. When you're like watching your kid be an absolute dummy over some boy. I love that.
Oh, sweetie.
I remember a Super Bowl party that I was excited to go to because he'd be there. What continued through all of these encounters was that he didn't talk other than to respond to a direct question with as few words as possible. He didn't attempt any sort of physical contact. We were always in group settings, so I chalked it up to social uncomfortability. I didn't venture beyond those group activities until spring of my senior year. A few days before Valentine's Day, I got a completely unexpected delivery of a dozen chocolate roses from Blaine. We went from sitting on opposite ends of the couch to a very boyfriendy type gift. I was unhinged with anxiety about what to do. Amen. Like, truly, that would be, that is a mind fuck for like a 16, 17 year old. Like,
you are married. Planning.
I'm getting married to this man.
Wedding.
Yes,
I already have his. I have his name on my notebook with my name.
Yeah, he's in love with you.
It's
he just
Blaine
doesn't know.
And his last name.
Yes, he's in love with you. He just doesn't know how to express his love, and he can't say it. So he sends you a dozen chocolate roses. He is in love with you. 100%.
Or somebody's really fucking with you. Oh, awful.
I knew I had to call and thank him, but I was major freaked. Eventually, I got the nerve to call. After the initial thank you, I then proceeded to try and engage in conversation and was met with crickets. I powered through because I was thinking that I just got to keep chipping away. I'll get to the inside one of these days. He must want me because he sent the roses.
Exactly.
I'm with you, girl.
Oh, no. I would have, the thought process is solid.
It's solid. You
know? Yes. Yes.
I had spent the evening of my junior prom watching My Own Private Idaho with my dad, which I don't recommend. I made the same mistake with Eyes Wide Shut. A word of advice: one should avoid watching Arthur cinema with one's parents.
Absolutely.
Eyes Wide Shut with your mom
so
and dad.
Much. I swear to God, I love her so much.
Incredible. I wanted the full senior year experience, and that included senior prom. I initiated, and it was agreed that we would be each other's dates to both school proms. I felt fancy having an outsider be my date. Prom was still 3 months off, so that gave us plenty of time to get past the whole shy thing and really make prom a night to remember. I was not looking to lose my virginity, but some making out and maybe some boob action was highly anticipated. We both lived about 45
some
minutes.
Boob action.
She's never had any physical contact with a boy, so this is very exciting. We both lived about 45 minutes outside of San Francisco, and both our proms were to be across bridges in the city. Our parents were all of the liberal persuasion, and they all agreed that we could stay overnight in a hotel rather than driving back late at night. We were going to be adulting! 3 exclamation points.
Yeah, you will. I adulted on my prom night, too.
Big time. Mm-hmm.
And then you adulted for the next 18 years. Yeah. In the meantime, he began calling me to talk probably once a week or so. One would think that if he's initiating the call, that he would be inclined to participate in the phone call. But nope, that same old pattern just kept on. Blaine, are you okay? You're sending roses. You're making phone calls that then you don't talk on.
Yeah.
What's going on? Poor thing.
My anxiety couldn't. Mm-hmm. My anxiety couldn't. I couldn't.
But okay, so that this pattern is continuing, but she held out hope that possibly when they're alone in a hotel room on prom night, that
sparks
is when the magic
will
happen. Okay. My school's
boobies
prom arrived.
Are getting played with.
The titties are getting juggled. Here we go.
Tune in.
My school's prom arrived first. All I remember is some very stiff and chaste slow dancing that would have made any youth pastor proud. After checking into the hotel suite, Amy proceeded to immediately disappear into the bedroom with her date. That left the pull-out couch in the living room for me and Blaine. We changed into We changed into pajamas and laid down on one half of the pull, and I laid down on one half of the pullout. He lay down on the other half, and that is where we remained until Amy emerged from the bedroom the next morning. Words can't express how completely pissed and over it I was by the time the sun rose in the morning. Forget the no touching, no making out. He didn't talk. At all. We were going to lay in bed with no one else around. At least talk to me. It was one of the longest nights of my life. I laid there awake all night. I was seething. I was overstimulated and I couldn't sleep. I had to live every minute of the frustration. At one point, Amy's date came out in a pair of tidy whities to get a box of Altoids from the mini bar, which I knew meant she was blowing him. She's like, go get the Altoids. I have a fun trick to show you.
This is so fucking high school. I am fucking dying.
Frankly, he was the last guy you'd expect to get laid on prom night. So that only added insult to injury. Another friend jokingly called him George Costanza to give you a clue. There I was, laying on a bed with a super cute boy with an ocean of space and silence between us. The illusion that there was more to this guy was gone. I was done. Amy did the whole I told you so thing, and I had to concede. I appreciate being introverted and shy, but there are limits. Whatever his problem was, I was over it. I was 3 months away from moving to the other end of the state to embark on adulthood, and I was leaving him in my dust, except I agreed to be his date to his prom 2 weeks out. And being a responsible, obliging female, I couldn't bail on him, even though I desperately wanted to. The cherry on the cake was that the second prom started about 18 hours after I returned from a whirlwind 36-hour senior trip to Disneyland's annual grad night. We departed the school at 9 a.m. Thursday morning and arrived back at 1 a.m. on Saturday morning. Needless to say, I was exhausted and collapsed in my bed, and it was and then it was time to get ready for his prom. Screw the hotel and carpool this time. I was taking my own car, and when I told my mom that I would be home directly after the dance, she offered to have Blaine stay at our house to avoid the extra drive to his house. Hell no. I was taking his ass directly home. My trip exhaustion compounded with being fed up with his stratospheric levels of social paralysis. I was barely present through most of the prom. He finally found a voice when we were on the car on the way back home, trying to convince me to stay the night at his place, saying his dad was out for the night, so we'd have the house all to ourselves.
To do what? Sit in our pajamas on the opposite sides of the bed?
For like, what? She said. So I could lay on the couch while he laid on the other. Exactly. I had been to his house several times and never even seen his bedroom. Why would it change now? I dropped his ass off and that was that. I never saw him again. My house got dial-up internet after graduation, so we emailed a bit through the summer.
It's all over now.
Always initiated by him. My annoyance was ratcheted up once again when I learned that he'd spent the entire graduation trip his mom took him on to Fiji in the Cabana hotel room with some sort of sickness. Only Blaine could make a trip to Fiji the most boring thing ever.
Oh man, poor Blaine.
According
has
to
crippling
Amy,
anxiety.
Yeah, he just has really
like,
bad social
dude.
Anxiety. Exactly.
Only Blaine could fuck this up that bad.
I guess he eventually got married and had a kid. And it turned out that he got some kind of degree from Berkeley with computers. And there are several YouTube videos of him speaking in front of large crowds at a computer science convention.
I need the link.
Give us the name, girl.
I have to.
It took another 2 years to finally get that first physical contact with a boy. But you can bet that I rounded all the proverbial bases in rapid succession when it did finally happen.
Hell yeah.
Thanks for all you do.
Wow. She was like, I ran backwards. I went home, then third base, then second base.
100%. Yeah, that is the most high school high school.
I was transported back in time, actually.
Literally. I was like, I feel like I know this exact story.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
The Altoid for the blowjob is really what gets
that okay. Really listen. Did it. Because that was a thing for a while. I definitely remember be like,
Do you think guys were like into that?
I feel like it wouldn't feel good. I feel like it would be spicy.
I don't think
spicy,
it would feel good.
You know?
Yeah,
like
I don't
spicy on the
feels
dick.
Spicy.
I don't think, you know.
Yeah, I don't.
Is that good? Men write in. Are you intrigued by that?
No, because here's the thing. I remember doing mouthwash once before giving a blowjob that turned into sex, and it's spicy inside too. It does not feel good.
No.
No, because it's not supposed to be like, it's not supposed to fresh. Be like, the Listerine is not supposed like, to be like jammed I mean, into the back of your throat like that. Like,
or like mentholated vagina. Like, oh, it was terrible. Oh,
yeah.
I didn't even think about that. No, a spicy vag. No.
No, I don't like it. All right, guys. My story is not as long, but it comes with a content warning that there will be poo, just like that movie.
Oh, Javier Bardem. Oh, okay, great.
Yes.
Or Daniel Day-Lewis.
Mm-hmm. I drink your milkshake, but I don't want to think about that.
Vehicle. There will be poo.
There will be poo.
Oh, my God. Okay. So I, 19, female, met this guy, 25, male, on Tinder. We had a little bit in common, but it was clear his intentions were purely sexual. That's fine, though. Same for me.
Yeah, you're 19.
As one does. Okay. Yeah. 19, 25? Yes, Tinder equal hookup. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Mm-hmm. As one does, I invited him over to my house after 2 weeks of the talking stage, and we hit it off. I'm sorry. I'm surprised 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
If this is...
When all you want to do is hook up. That's an eternity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's. It feels long. It feels relationship leading, to be honest. I invited him over to my house, and we hit it off. It was awkward having a stranger at my house, but other than that, it was pretty chill. And normal. Things got really weird when I felt a sudden piercing pain on my stomach. I got up from the bed, real dizzy, and tried to reach for the bathroom door. Unable to close the door, I barfed all over my toilet.
Oh, no.
Oh.
And even the walls.
Oh, ooh, no.
Not only that, but I had vomited so hard that a stream of hot diarrhea came out of me.
Oh,
I could only hear him ask, "Are you okay?" And if he could enter the bathroom to help me.
No.
Obviously,
under no fucking circumstances. Not. Are you allowed to come in here? No.
You, basically a stranger. Yeah, no. No.
In fact, just go
came
home.
Over to the
just
bone.
Go. Just go.
Just came over to bone.
We'll reschedule.
Obviously, I said no. I shat all over my clothes, too.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, after I was done barfing, I took a quick shower. However, it wouldn't stop there. I kept vomiting and shitting myself for the next 2 hours until I finally asked him to leave. Why is he there
Girl,
for 2 hours?
Like, legit. Like, you are there for a hookup. You can tell she is unwell. It is time to go home.
Yeah. Goodbye. I'll text you.
I'm so glad you could come over.
I would have sent him home immediately. Do you know how uncomfortable I would be knowing that he could probably hear me for 2 hours?
Oh, yeah.
And smell.
2 hours.
Oh, the smell. The smell of vomit and diarrhea.
I finally asked him to leave. At this point, my whole bathroom had diarrhea all over it.
Oh my
Liquid
God.
Shit was leaking outside the bathroom.
Oh.
He left, and I just can't speak
Time
to him ever
out.
Again. Of course
Time
you can't.
Out.
Move.
Diarrhea
Move.
Is leaking out from under the floor? Is this a Shape
under
of Water
the door.
Situation?
Too
like
much.
The door? Like it's. You know what I mean? When they fill the room with water. Like,
the
I'm
shape
just like,
of shit. Another classic.
How is it? What
it's
do you
too much.
What do you mean? What do you mean it's leaking out from under the door? How?
No.
How?
That's too much shit. Like,
all I can think of is the fucking elevator and the Shining.
Oh, oh my God. Please leave. Why are you still here?
He's like, he's on the other side of the door.
Save yourself.
Just watching it slowly leak out. Like, why?
Save yourself. Why?
Save yourself.
Oh my God. 2 hours. Why is he still there? Also, was there like a movie on? He just couldn't.
Yeah, he's watching like, There Will Be Blood. That is what he's watching.
He's watching the other woman with Cameron Diaz. It's 2 hours.
He's like, it's almost over. It's really funny.
He's like, you're all right in there. Yeah. Okay, well, this movie's almost over. I'm just going to finish it out. Oh, Lord.
Oh, horrific. God. Oh, also, God. I have to say, like, how long are you shitting before you're like, I need to go to the hospital? I'm like,
honestly,
2 hours?
2 hours is too long.
Diarrhea?
I've never had two hours.
I feel like my body starts to like react really bad if I'm doing like, it's beyond like just all the stuff coming out of me. I'm so weak by that point.
Yeah, you're sweating. Your muscles are weak.
Dude,
911.
I told you guys the only thing that I've done this week is follow a TikToker's journey to shit.
Oh, yeah.
And it literally has been like days long saga in and out of the emergency room. I don't know why it was on my FYP, but I'm just like, if it's 2 hours, I'm 911. I'm going to the hospital.
Also, but the problem is too,
you're going to be 2 weeks to be able to clean up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
Because all you want to do whenever you've shit for 2 hours is like, I need to go like shower, wrap up in something cozy and go lay in my bed. But you can't do that because you have diarrhea all over your fucking
And also you have a fuck buddy over.
No, hookup. Send him home.
Are you still here? Please leave.
Please. Will you leave?
Please leave.
Oh, my God. Let's take 5 and then we'll come back with the tainted love.
Yeah.
That sounds good. And we're back. Keegan, tell us your tainted love.
Oh, I would love to, but I don't have one.
JK, I'm sorry. It was Christina. I forgot. I got confused.
I have a doozy for you guys in that I got sucked down a rabbit hole. This tainted love comes to you from my dearly beloved partner. This is a home.
My dearly beloved.
This is his hometown. Bakersfield happened. Oh. And he's like, did you know about this? And I actually was like, oh yeah, I have actually seen that Dateline. But then I went digging and I have very many questions. And so we'll just dive in. Okay. You guys have probably seen this too. And the way that it's presented on Dateline, and I think there's a Snapped too, is very like open and shut. I do not think this is open and shut.
Okay.
I have queries
and
questions.
Detective cap. Here we go.
Correct. Okay. So it is August 25th, 2013 in Bakersfield, California. Mm-hmm. This is very important. Location plays a big role in this.
Okay. You said 2015?
2013.
And we've all been to Bakersfield now. We've done the Bakersfield tour. So
yes,
we know all the highlights.
You have not been in August when it's like visiting the sun, the literal dirty, dusty, smoggy sun.
Yeah.
The surface. It's so fucking hot. So anyways, this is Bakersfield in August in 2013. So Todd gets up early. He's like, babe, I'm going to go to the gun show. And his wife, Janae. Her name's actually Leslie Janae, but she goes by Janae. So we're going to call her Janae. Janae's like, sweet, I got grocery delivery coming in a few hours, which I was also like, 2013, they were already doing
grocery.
Janae was ahead of the game.
She really was.
Yeah, and Janae, she's the elementary school principal, so she's got some stuff to prepare for the upcoming week. School had just started the week before, so she's got some stuff to do on a Sunday. She's like, goodbye, honey. And he gets into his Mustang. It's a 2011 Mustang. He loves his car. Loves it. Backs out of the driveway. He's gone about like 8. So
few hours later, like Janae's unloading groceries and everything, and the police come to the door and they're like, you may want to sit down. Todd is dead.
Oh no.
We found his body in an almond orchard. He's been shot.
I know this story.
Yeah. So she's like, what? No, he went to go to the gun show. And like, Todd's parents like had randomly come by and she's like, yeah, he was going to go to the gun show with his dad. His dad's like, I never talked to him. I wasn't going to the gun show.
Was there a podcast that was like specifically about this?
Shut and dry.
Like, I think that there was a podcast that was like just about this case, like not a date,
really?
But like, I think that there was a podcast. I could be wrong, but if it's the one I'm thinking.
Oh,
of.
I would love to find that and listen because I'm like, I searched through so
I don't think it's cut and dry
stuff.
Either.
I don't think so either. So,
nope. So anyway,
they immediately are like, okay, so like he was nowhere near the gun show. He's shot in an almond orchard and they like found the body like really quickly. He had been
informed her same day
few hours after he left. Yeah, it was really quick because he still had his wallet on him. His cell phone was like 20 feet away. So she's flabbergasted. They're like, okay, so he's been shot, he has a lot of guns, like are there any guns missing? And she's like, no. And they're like, well, can you go check? And she's like, actually there is a 38 revolver that's missing from the house. And they're like, okay. Well, then they get like alerted that Todd's car had been found. And it's like on the 20, like miles away from this almond orchard. His car is found. And I know the part of Bakersfield that it's on too, like in a not great part of Bakersfield. His 2011 Mustang, it's a little dusty, but is left in this neighborhood with
being begging to be stolen
to be stolen, yep. Which mm-hmm. I'm like, yep. This part makes me laugh because I think about the mm-hmm. the residents there actually called the car in because they're like, this car's too nice, like come get it.
Then that person doesn't live here.
This car's too nice. Like everyone knew, like it's a trap, like because the doors were unlocked, the keys were on the floorboard, and there's a visible 38 revolver there. No one touched it.
Ma'am. People, for some reason, they really think that like people who live in low-income neighborhoods are stupid. Yeah. It's like mm-hmm. they have more street savvy than like a lot of other people. Like they know whenever it's a plant, it's a trap. They know
exactly. They're like, shit. They're 911. They're like, you better come get this car. This car's too nice. You better come over here. Mm-hmm.
They're like, somebody is trying to entice us into stealing this car, and not today. Not today, Satan. It ain't gonna be me.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So the people that found it, the cops interview them, and they're like, yeah, there was like a middle-aged woman that got out of this car and she's wearing like sweats and a baseball cap and sunglasses. And they noticed it because again, it's fucking Bakersfield in fucking August. And like, you don't want to wear any clothes, let alone like heavy black, dark clothing. That's very, it stands out. So police end up like scouring this like whole route, like just fanning out, trying to see if they can find any video of this woman that's been in the car, that planted the car there. And they find all these grainy different security surveillance video of what appears to be like a middle-aged woman who is going this specific route, walking very quickly and weirdly, like very like huffing and puffing, and goes into a Starbucks, changes, like so she's wearing a red backpack. So that's how they, because like her shoes change at one point, her pants change. Like the only thing that stays consistent is that she's wearing this red backpack. But they find out from the timeline that like, Todd must have been shot around 8:30, and they think he wasn't shot at the almond orchard. They think he was shot inside the car, but there's also no blood or anything inside the car. So somehow then the car shows up on the other end of town, And then they go to Janae because they're like, we think Janae has something to do with it. But Janae had a grocery delivery that come down at 10. Her daughters are home with her. One of the daughters is like, I went downstairs at 9:30 and said, hello, my mom was folding laundry. So basically I'm
clear,
like,
clear solid alibi.
Clear solid alibi. And I'm like, nobody thought to try. And also, I'm not trying to be negative or anything like that, but Janae was middle-aged and overweight. Was not, you know, somebody mm-hmm, that was fit. Very active or like could jog or anything. Like, just, I'm like, did no
She's
one...
She's not running around
did
town.
Did no one think to walk this route and time it in August in Bakersfield? Because mm-hmm. When they came, it was like shortly after her grocery delivery had come. She would have been like sweating. Sorry.
Yeah. She'd have been a mess.
She would have No, she was fine. She was putting her groceries away. So all of this is that they're like, okay, we think it's you. They arrest her.
Oh my God.
And they didn't look anywhere else.
No.
It is a blind.
The prosecutor actually is like, you don't have enough evidence. So they let her go. And 3 years go by and they're just like looking at any fucking evidence they can do to make this work. So
that is so irritating to me. They're just like, oh, we don't want to do our jobs. So let's just try and like fit this puzzle piece in where it doesn't go.
Yep. So they crack Todd's phone and they find out that he's been Facebook messaging an ex of his. Mm. And like,
couldn't be her,
flirting back and forth. Well, they do actually check her out, and she was like 157 miles away. And they hadn't talked for months. They had never met up physically. It was just a Facebook flirting back and forth. It was definitely inappropriate, but it wasn't, she was like, it was just like an ex. We were like flirting back and forth. It didn't mean anything kind of thing. They surmise, so this is what they took 3 years to put together. They surmise that Janae found the conversation between him and his ex. Mm-hmm. And that
proof?
Exactly.
They just guessed.
She must have. She must have found out. And that she was so triggered by that information because her first husband had cheated on her and left her while she was pregnant with her first daughter. So they are like,
and she didn't kill him. That's weird.
Exactly. She plotted and schemed for a year, basically because like the messages started in 2012. And then in 2013, they were like, let's go to Vegas. And they went to Vegas and they went to a CSI exhibition. And so they're like, that's proof.
That's how she learned how to be a criminal mastermind at the CSI exhibition.
One of the things at the CSI exhibition was a woman murders her husband and dumps his body in the desert. And so they're like, well, she must have been taking notes and plotting and scheming.
Do you know how many of those, do you know how in trouble, if that's all it takes, do you know how in trouble the three of us are?
Oh,
every woman I know.
Because they're just like, oh, she watched a Snapped episode about a woman who snapped on her husband. So she must have done it. It's just like, do you know how many of those fucking shows I have watched?
Yeah.
Like, shut up. No.
And not only that, so the car was completely clean. It didn't have anybody's fingerprints or DNA in it except for one fingerprint from Janae. And there was
She's been
some,
in that car.
That's
in her husband's car.
In her husband's car. Yeah. And so
the car that I'm sure she's been in.
Right. Yeah.
So that was like the smoking gun physical evidence that they're like, well, you've been in the car, and you had said that you've never driven this car, but your fingerprint was on the steering wheel. So that must be a lie. And she's like, I can't drive stick. So is what she's saying. And they're like, well, you must be lying. So she was actually in 2016 convicted. Mm-hmm. She is guilty.
She's still in jail.
She gave her 25 years to life and an extra 25 years to life because the murder was committed with a gun. And she, her recent appeal was just denied. And yeah, she
can't believe that.
She is in jail.
Because they,
we never do this. We never come in and we're like, it doesn't seem likely, but there's just doesn't make, well, it doesn't add up.
And the thing is,
there's nothing.
It doesn't add up. Maybe she could have done it, right? Like nothing, like maybe you can't take anything off the table, but that's not the, like, you have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that she did it.
Right.
And like, there is just not enough to determine
the evidence that's been produced is not enough to convince me that she.
The other part, they were like, well, she wanted the life insurance money. First of all, Janae was the breadwinner of the family. She was making good money. And secondly, the life insurance policies that they had totaled like $500,000. They had been bought 10 years previously. So it's, you know, I'm like,
right.
And they were like, well, she was using all this insurance money. And it's like, yeah, she was, because she got laid off from her job when she got arrested as a suspect. So that's what she was using the money to fucking support her and her three kids. So, and then they gave her a lot of misogyny.
I honestly don't
and
know
stuff
why.
Because she had lap band surgery. So they, of course, like laid in about that, like, oh, now she's, you know, skinny and blah, blah, blah. It's just, it's such an, I thought it was an open and shut case. But then the more that I was looking at it, I was like, I don't understand. Like, her daughters saw her. There's no way she could have made it across town walking.
Right. I mean, you have to
and
take
stopping
testimony.
To change clothes.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, all the same questions
I
you had, Christina.
Like, I understand that, like, you have to take, when it's a parent, a sibling, a child, who are giving you your alibi, like, you have to sometimes take that with a grain of salt because people will lie for the people that they love.
Sure.
However, you don't have enough conclusive evidence that she was elsewhere to assume that they are lying. You know what I mean?
It just doesn't make any sense.
No, like, it doesn't make any, like, that. Did they, like, the witnesses who saw the woman get out of the car, did they show them
Janae? No one was able to identify Janae as the person, like, in the video. Nobody.
Then how a partial fingerprint on a fucking
your husband's car?
On your husband's car.
Like, she could have, that could have got, she doesn't have to drive the car
anything.
For her fingerprint to get on the steering wheel. She could have, like, needed to get something out of the car, and she, like, leaned on the
leaned
steering
in.
Wheel and grabbed something 100%. From the passenger seat. Like, you, what?
Like, also, they're speculating that, like, Todd was shot in the car, but there's no, like, in the chest, there's no blood. There's, no evidence. So I'm like, they're like, oh, the there's a picture in one of the surveillance cameras where this person is carrying a plastic bag with something that looks like disinfecting wipes. So I'm like, so not only this person
so
would have had 45 minutes to clean up a murder scene, drive the car to the opposite side of town, get out and walk like miles, changing clothes at different locations during this whole thing, then to just arrive home and her be like so calm and so chill when her daughter's like, and she's like folding laundry when they come downstairs. I'm like, it just doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. That's wild.
It is wild to me. It's wild. I don't know how there's not like some justice, like, you know, how there's like those, justice programs that like look
into Innocence Project and stuff like that.
I'm really surprised.
I really want to see, I'm looking up right now to see that podcast that you were talking about, if there's
I thought there was one, but I've also listened to so many true crime podcasts now that I'm might be getting it mixed up with something else. That's possible. It was the Almond Orchard that did it for me, that made me think that there was one, but I could be wrong. But
yeah, I need to look it up. If one of the listeners, if you guys know what it is, I really want to listen to it. Cause it,
yeah,
like I said, it sometimes bothers me, and I try to, when I tell a tainted love, not just go off a Dateline or Snapped or whatever, because it's biased. Mm-hmm. You know, I also try to find articles and try to find other, you know, takes on the thing and
sources of information.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, after watching the Dateline, you're like, oh, zip, zap, zop. That's it. But even after that, I was like, that seems like some pretty circumstantial stuff to
pretty thin
hang your hat on. So,
well, going into what we are watching, speaking of tunnel vision, and this actually, this story had been on my list of tainted loves that I was considering doing, because I had heard a criminal episode where they did a two-parter on this story. But I won't do it now because now everyone is watching the Netflix show American Nightmare.
Oh,
if you guys haven't seen it,
I thought about doing that too. Because
it's a banana story.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So because it's an absolutely, you know, crazy story, and I won't ruin it for anyone who hasn't seen it and wants to see it. So that you can go
ruin it for me as soon as this episode's over.
Okay. I absolutely,
I'm interested, but I don't want to watch it. It looks too spooky.
Cassie, you would hate it. Like you would genuinely hate it. Yeah. And we'll talk about why. I just don't want to give too much away here. But what I will say is just like when you like, it is so dangerous for law enforcement to just make up their minds about something and proceed in that way. So that's all I'll say about it because I don't want to ruin it for anyone. But also listen to the criminal episode. After American Nightmare came out on Netflix, they re-released them. I think they're called like 48 Hours or something like that. And it's a two-parter. And they interview people involved always because that's what criminal does. But, you know, Phoebe Judge does an amazing job as always.
Queen.
Yeah, queen.
Queen. The other thing that we keep getting recommended to as far as like shows like this is the movie that, or the show that just came out, and it was based on the Christina, I think you did it.
Yeah. Yeah. Lover, stalker, killer.
That's it. Yeah.
It's that, that story sticks with me too. That really does.
Yeah.
Like the fact that she made that whole thing up and that poor woman was dead the whole time.
That story is, I forgot which
killed
one that
her
was.
Own
but
pets. Mm-hmm. That was awful.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was, that was, like you said, that one's one that sticks with me for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on another note on what we are watching, I have been binging a show, a BBC show. It's, I think it's on BritBox actually, called Scott and Bailey. It's kind of like the perfect, I don't have to think too much about it, but it's a really good, just, you know, British crime procedural, you know me.
Yeah. I love them. I love them too. I also did finally finish Luther, like all the seasons of Luther.
Did you? It's been on my list for a while.
It's so intense. Like sometimes I'm watching it and I'm like, I can't believe they just put this shit on like regular TV in England. They're just like, cause it is, it's a pretty intense show.
Yeah.
Well,
how about you, Christina?
I am deep into Night Country.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
True Detective.
I think I know True Detective.
Oh,
Jodie Foster.
I was like, I know this.
Supreme queen.
Yeah. I love watching her. I love
and
watching
whoever
her.
And whoever plays her partner, she's like a professional boxer, but she, I think that she is so interesting to watch, that, that actress. Yeah, I'm loving it. I'm loving that series.
But you don't have to have watched the seasons prior to it.
No.
They're all standalone, right?
Yeah.
Interesting.
There's a little bit of an Easter egg tying season one with season four.
Okay.
But it's not, at least so
season
far,
one,
it's not vital to the story so far.
Season one is the one I want to see, and then apparently now this one.
Yeah,
these
season,
are the two that
season
everybody
one
talks about.
Is very worth watching. Like if the other two, like two and three, I did not like two. Three was fine. But like season one, mwah, So good. And then this season is so good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, here we
get
go.
Get a blanket because watching Night Country makes me cold.
I think it might be too scary for you. It does. Yeah. It okay. looks... I'm sorry. Like, for anybody who might be listening to Alaska, there are other places in the world to,
girl,
like, exist.
When I'm watching this
you
show...
You can live other places.
I am, like... The number of times when I'm watching True Detective Night Country that I'm, like... They are not selling me on living in this place in any way.
No.
It looks cold. Mm-mm. It is dark.
Dark.
It is like violent.
And there's a hell of a lot more men than women. I'm not into that. No,
no thanks. Thank you.
The odds are like, not in my favor. I'm out.
The energy is not
the,
not
the
good.
The vibes are bad.
So.
Like,
yeah.
And I'm not saying all of Alaska, but this, at least this place in this show, I don't know if that's a real place or if that's something they made up for the show, but wowie.
Yeah, it's
scary
a bummer
out there.
Well, hey, if you guys have something that we should watch, if you have a terrible date story, or if you just want to say hello, go to our one-stop shop of a website. It's myworstdatepodcast.com. And we love you so much.
Cheers.